All right, well, good evening. Good to see you again. We're excited about our new series, the opportunity to talk about a subject that most of us spend a lot of time doing. And so the idea of work to the glory of God is something that hopefully will be a good thing for us to remember and remind ourselves and be renewed as far as what the scriptures instruct us in regards to this topic. And so thank you for being here. And we have, as I mentioned this morning, kind of a little bit of a different format. We're going to sing a couple songs and then have our evening offering. And then there's a group of folks that are going to come and participate in a panel discussion on really how we can glorify God in the arts. And each week we'll take a different aspect of the working community. Unfortunately, we can't cover all the aspects and categories of work, but we've tried to pick several of them. And we'll be able to hear from you all. So be ready, because you may be asked to be part of the panel, and hopefully it'll be a great encouragement to us. And then we'll take some time and look into the Word as we have the opportunity to kind of look at work from the very beginning, from the first week of creation, and then after the fall. That's kind of where we'll start tonight. But let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time and pray as we begin. Father God, thank you for each one who's here this afternoon. And I pray that it would be a fruitful time. Lord, we spend so much of our days working, and that's the way you designed it, and that's your desire for us. I pray that we would view it more than just a regular activity of our life, but we would view it as something bigger and greater, an opportunity to worship you as we work and glorify your name. And so help us tonight as we begin this series and as we proceed through it. Lord, would you use it for your glory? Thank you for the time. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.
Let's stand together and sing, start off tonight. Grace unmeasured, vast and free, that knew me from eternity.
Grace unmeasured, vast and free, that knew me from eternity, that called me out before my birth, bring the glory on this earth. Grace amazing, pure and deep, that saw me in my misery, that took my curse and owned my way, so I could bear.
Sang a song that sounded probably just a little bit familiar because there were some familiar aspects to it this morning. And so we're going to sing it in a little simplified version for us. My soul finds rest. If you know it, sing it out. If you don't, sing it out.
Okay. My soul finds rest in God alone, my rock and my salvation.
My heart. So how many of you are obedient to our pastor's instruction this morning and got some rest this afternoon the old-fashioned way with a nap? There you go. That should encourage you.
Yes.
And of course, rest has so much to do with our soul and our spirituality as well. And trust tonight we will be reminded of resting, but as well giving glory to God in our work and opportunities we have. As our gentlemen come forward, I would ask you to pray for our service tomorrow for Miss Helen Flower. She returned to her Savior and on Friday. And we want to remind you of the service at Mackey on Century Drive. And that'll be at 3 o'clock with a 1:30 visitation. If you're not able to make it, please be praying. The Lord will bless and encourage them through this time. And then I would ask as well if you remember a little 4-day-old baby named Samuel. And tomorrow at 10 a.m., he's having surgery to repair 2 holes in his heart and an artery, and it's very difficult surgery. So if you remember Samuel and ask the Lord to minister to that need and to that family, would you pray with me? Father, we do rejoice in the rest we have in you, and we thank you that we can gather once again as your children and sing songs that we trust glorify you, minister to our soul as well. And tonight we ask you to bless our service. We pray that you would bless the panel. And Lord, as they share, may it once again remind us of opportunities we have in the work you've called us to. And Lord, our greatest desire is to bring you glory. And so may this service do that. We do pray for the Flower family that you will continue to encourage their hearts and the needs they're facing today and tomorrow. And we pray you'd bless in that service. We ask you to be with Samuel and his family, and just the difficulty that they're facing. We pray for the delicate surgery, that you would guide the surgeons and just minister to that need, and your perfect will would be accomplished. So bless in all things that are done tonight, tomorrow, and throughout this week. Use us for thy glory, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Can you lower that shade for some of our folks that, like me, that are having light sensitivity? That would be helpful. Thank you.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. God, wenn ich die Welt betrachte, die du geschaffen durch dein Allmachtswort, wenn ich auf alle jene Wesen achte, die du regierst und nährest fort und fort. And take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Well, we're going to get started tonight with our first panel in our Work to the Glory of God series. So if my panelists will make their way up here, go ahead and get started. As Andrew mentioned, we're going to do the arts to the glory of God this evening. The arts to the glory of God. Some of you are thinking, what is the arts? Are we about to have a drama show up here or another special? No, we will not be doing that tonight. But some of the things that fall under the category of the arts maybe are not what you're thinking. We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about graphic design. We're going to talk about acting. We're going to talk about writing. And we've got four people up here, four members of our church who are from those different fields. So as we begin, if you guys would just go down and introduce yourself, your name, what you do for a living, how long you've been doing it, things like that. So Brian, why don't you get us started?
My name is Brian Buda, and I work as a musician at Bob Jones University. I write music for the press where they do videos, and I write a lot of the music that goes underneath the videos and for segments and animated educational materials and things like that. I've been doing that for about 10 years now. Freelance work. Oh, and I also freelance work for Majesty Music and other music publishers. I write choral music and I write piano music and I orchestrate music for other songs as well.
Great. I'm Nancy Lohr with a loud microphone. For 20-plus years, I have been a writer and an editor. I work at Journey Forth Books, which is the trade division of BJU Press. In that job, I'm an acquisitions editor, so I'm reviewing submissions, acquiring and editing manuscripts for the novel biography pre-college market and Bible studies and Christian living for the adult market. For the company, I travel to conferences, and I teach on the art and craft of writing. I give keynote presentations, take interviews with writers, sit on panels. And then as a side job, I am a freelance editor for HarperCollins Christian, which is products for Thomas Nelson and Zondervan.
My name is Jennifer Sanders. You may think I'm a farmer, but in my early 40s, I started doing acting and commercials. And so I will freelance, often going to Atlanta or Charlotte and do commercials or play extra roles in different movies and so forth.
My name is Will Sowers, and I'm a graphic designer and web developer at a place called GruffyGoat.com. Typical response. So we also have a side business called BeSuperfly.com, and it's just templated and WordPress development and design.
Got all different skill sets here represented within the arts. So how did you guys end up in your jobs, in your vocation that you're in today? What did the Lord use to lead you to this point? Will, you want to get started?
I just really like to draw. It's really, I'm talented in it, I guess. I don't know, that's just always been a passion for me. So when I found out that you could get paid to draw things, I was like, well, why do I need math or science? you do need math and science, so that's important. But, it's naturally gifted. I love doing it. That's what I did when I got frustrated in high school. That's just what I did.
I did speech and debate starting back in high school, and then in college also continued with a communication degree, and then children come along and everything changes. But now as my kids have gotten older and it's given me some more free time, I just started up again with getting on different websites where you have opportunities to audition and then directors contact you, and it's been a fun and adventurous little ride.
My college work is in elementary education, so I was a teacher for a number of years, middle school grades, primarily math and English, and then my last teaching job was as a school librarian, so I was a librarian but teaching book skills, and I developed asthma that was triggered by book mold. which is the Lord tapping you with a 2x4 saying, time to move on. And the Lord moved me from the library to the clean end of books and provided a job in publishing, and then I have moved laterally through the company to where I am now.
I was fortunate to have parents that encouraged me to start early with writing music. They started me out with a computer program that helped me write music in high school, and I continued with education at college at Bob Jones, where I studied with Dan Forrest, and just learning the finer arts, finer side of writing music, and just I was just very fortunate to have a good quality education, I think.
Well, what excites you about your job that gets you out of bed on a Monday morning? What part of your job really excites you? You have a real passion for it. What motivates you to do the job that you're doing? Nancy, you want to start?
I'm going to take that as the elder statesman here.
Okay.
And the human answer, the paycheck and the health care. They call it work for a reason, and you do this because it's an adult discipline. You get up and do the work the Lord has called you to do. But there are satisfying things that all of us enjoy in our work. But there are some things that are just hard. And to say that I'm excited to go and face some of those would not be true.
What else? Any other motivations, or is that about it?
Am I the only sinner?
Aside from, yes, the paycheck, and that is a very big plus, and to be able to be paid for what you do, for the creative things that you do, seeing something come together, a project, whatever it is, and seeing it mesh with other things that other people are working with. Say I'm working for a video, other people are animating something, and I write music for it, and when those two things come together, it seems very magical, and that it's a very satisfying and exciting thing for both sides, and it really shows in it. And I think that even the people that the homeschoolers and the customers that see this final project, the final products, they really appreciate that too.
There's no health care in my industry, but the food is amazing on set, let me tell you, usually. But no, I love meeting people, and it's a great way to be a witness and just get into other people's lives. And it's nice also to get a break from reality and go into a different world and play someone else. That part is really fun.
I don't know. I'm very practical in my industry. I do a lot of support. So I kind of just make people money. Like, it's if someone's site goes down, they have zero income for that day. And if they don't have a site to begin with, they probably have zero income for that day. So that's kind of nice, just being on the front end of that because they have an idea and they have a dream of what they want to do with their life, and we're just like we're a huge milestone to that. So that's always, I mean, that's. Yeah, the money is also very nice, but yeah.
So stepping back and getting a little bit bigger picture here, back from your specific vocations to the general arts, what about the arts do you think is important to God, or what inspiration from Scripture do you find for the arts or for your specific vocation?
I think the act of creating something from nothing is something that we imitate God with, and something that anyone, even if they're not acknowledging it, they're giving glory to God because the art is intrinsically beautiful, and God is pleased with beauty.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same thing when I was preparing for this. I looked up the word beauty and beautiful. And the number of times it appears in Scripture and appears with reference to God is significant. And when you work in the arts as believers, you are mirroring that. Curiously, in the world, you're considered creative if you're doing something completely original no one else has done. For believers, you're creative when you're really mirroring the Creator. And beauty is a part of that. And I would say for many people in the arts who have giftedness that way, they sometimes feel guilty to spend time and resources on using their gifts because it doesn't necessarily produce as much a tangible outcome as some other vocations do. And as a church, we should be a support to those people, encourage their gifts. This isn't fluff. It's not decoration. Beauty is something that God, from the outset, honored. Every day after creation, he stopped and said, "This is good."
The drama industry can be a very dark place, and some people will look at it and just say you shouldn't have any part of it. But there's a lot of good out there, too, and there needs to be a light. God commanded us to be a light. So I look at those challenges where people don't want to go. That's something that, it's not going to turn me off to see someone that, you know, you might think belongs on the street or whatever your first thought might be. I look at it as a challenge to reach out and show them Christ's love, and I think there needs to be more light affecting the industry.
There's another term that gets thrown around in the graphic design world of creative problem solving. That's a catchphrase for us. It's a trigger educationally wise. But that's what we do, is we creatively problem solve. And you look at how that interacts with the church, like in Scripture, one of the first people that was Spirit-filled was an architect. And God gifted him artistically to make the tabernacle and dress that up. And it was like, you know what it looks like. It's beautiful. Like, that's all Scripture says of it, is it's absolutely glorious and beautiful. But he just, most people would just make a tent. But he was gifted and he was Spirit-filled. And that was his problem that he had to solve. So creatives are, we just see things differently. So that's just how we, that's how we solve problems, is do it cool ways. So.
Do it in cool ways. Is that your job description?
It's a
pretty good one. Let's get a little specific for each of you. Jennifer, we'll start with you. So you talked a little bit about the shining the light in a dark place. So practically, when you go on a set, how do you find ways to reflect Christ when being in a commercial, when interacting with the people there?
There's a lot of downtime, especially in movies. You have to sit for long periods of time, and they don't want you. A lot of them are very secretive, so you're not allowed to take a smartphone, but you can take a book or a Bible or something to read. So I have done that before, and that started some crazy conversations with some different people. But just in your conversation, they can sense there's a difference. And going into it, you have to be committed to your goals. You have to know where you stand, because on spot, they'll pull things. They'll ask you to do different things that you committed to. And you have to be firm, but professional in how you handle that.
Nancy, when it comes to creating stories or putting words on paper, why is that a realm that Christians need to be involved in? Why is that important for Christians?
Since I spend my life in that, it's like, why do you have to ask that question? It seems so obvious to me. The Bible started with a narrative telling us how God spoke a word and creation began. Words were the beginning of all of this. When we come to John, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words are critically important to our faith. I see writing, you're leaning more towards fiction, I think, and story, but I see all writing, nonfiction and fiction, as narrative. And we have to communicate clearly our biblical worldview, whether you're writing something that is factual and actual, or you're writing a biblical world through the vehicle of fiction, the vehicle of imagination. If we're not conveying gospel truth, we're not doing our job. There are plenty of unsaved writers out there who don't care about sharing our message. It's our job to do that through the vehicle of words and clearly. And when I edit, it's not infrequent that I will write a note in the margin of somebody's manuscript that I know you mean this sentence to say thus and such, but because the way you've worded it, it could also mean the exact opposite. So getting the words exactly the way they should be to convey the message you want to convey, that's a part of the Christian witness. We can't falsely communicate the gospel to people and think that we've done Great Commission living. I happen to do that in words on a page or on a screen, But I think that's the mission for all of us.
Similar question for you, Brian. Why is music so important for a Christian to be involved in? Why is it so important for Christians to be composing new music? Why is that crucial?
I think every generation has a new sound and a new everyone. There's new people that come along, and God gifts everyone, every generation, with that type of skill. It's not for everyone. Not everyone needs to do it, but everyone is commanded to sing. And I think it's the job of the composer to try to attempt to get good songs and write good songs and meld good words with good music.
Will, you talked a lot about creativity in your job as a graphic designer. So at the end of the day, when you're finished with a web design or a logo or something, what is it about that logo, that design, that speaks to God? How can you use what you design to speak of God?
A lot of it's just being there for the client. We go through the entire process of, I have this really cool idea, to, wow, you just gave me a really cool thing that I can go do stuff with. So those are really broad terms. But it's kind of just being there. It's listening. It's being personal. And that's not something that graphic designers are really good at. But I think because I am a Christian, I can be different from the world in that. It's really cool to see Christian graphic designers who genuinely care for the people that they serve. I think that's rare. I know for a fact the clients see that. I know for a fact that the people I work with see that. But just being, we deal with some really unlovable people that are just absolutely nasty. Like that's a typical day for us when we just deal with some really mean people. But being able to be patient and wait it out and still help them and still be encouraging and understanding and listening, even when they've said the same thing 5 times and you're like, you still can't do that. I know you guys all know that. But it's something that genuinely takes the grace of God, because we do that to God all the time. For us as Christians and members of the church to be able to take that into the workplace and say, you know what, like, you're being a real jerk, but you know what? I have experienced some awesome forgiveness in my life, and I'm going to practice that on you. So it's just being patient, being nice.
That's great. Well, last question for anybody who wants to chime in. What is one thing you want the members of Calvary to know about your job and how your job, the arts, and your field of the arts can be used to glorify God? Any last thoughts along those lines?
Because some of my work is for children, you might look at a novel and think, oh, that's just silly. That has nothing to do with Christianity. But we are a people of the book. And for children, they're learning how to lift words off the page. So part of my work is to help them have interesting, engaging sentences and stories to read so that they can develop those literary chops, or they will never be able to lift the Word of God off the page. So we think of books, I think, largely as important to adults, and it's really easier to write for adults than it is to read for children. But the sweet spot in my work is writing for children and helping them learn to be readers.
I think there's kind of a stigma especially with visual arts in the Christian community, of how it's just kind of, there are a lot of liberal people and just crazy wacko people in the art world. And that's true. Like, I'm not going to deny that. But I do think that there is a stigma where it's, if you are interested in the arts, especially growing up, that it's wrong. Like, you shouldn't do that. It's not okay. It's cliche. It's kind of edgy. I don't know where that comes from. It's kind of sad because, I mean, there are some really talented kids in the church and really talented people who have a God-given gift. You guys all know that not everyone's gifted the same way, especially when it comes to art. Like, I've seen some people try to be artistic, and it's something. but it is a God-given gift, and it's a blessing, and it's not anything to be, like, looked down on or negated and be like, no, you should get a real job. I get paid for what I do, and God will supply no matter what. I think it's kind of nice because I get to rely on God more than the average person because it's, who knows? Especially if you're project-based, who knows? Like, you might not get paid for a month. But it really is a blessing. Like, art is a form of communication, and all of us would say that. And just to really practice that and to understand that and to trust God through it and you have Him use you in incredible ways, I think that's really something special.
The theater and acting world can be a very vain place, and it's very frustrating when you're... the people that you work for are like, well, you need to drop 10 more pounds. if I could have done that to begin with, don't you think I would have already done it? But there's always interesting stuff that comes up, and it just, you have to be grounded, and don't snub your nose up at it because there's a lot of negative things. Those people need to be ministered to, and there are some really great people, Christians, that are doing excellent projects now. And if they weren't there, what would our kids be watching? There's a lot of good projects. So, and for someone that is younger, maybe considering it, or even at my age, looking to go into it, you know, don't think that there's, just because there's a stigma about it, that you shouldn't, because there needs to be a light in every aspect, or it's just going to go really negative. And it's been a blessing. I've had lots of contacts with different people. They think they're getting acting contacts that maybe will help them with a career. And hopefully they're getting a little bit of light and a little bit of Christ that can affect their lives.
Well, this has been really good, and I am so glad we got to hear your heart and your passion for the arts and see a little bit of that. And I'm looking forward to the panels in the coming weeks as we bring up different job areas and see how God is working in those areas. Thank you guys so much. Before Andrew comes, we're actually going to watch another video that'll kind of engage our hearts and get our minds focused on the subject at hand. So we're going to go ahead and play that video as the panel goes and sits down.
So the goal for this series is to help us really think more of what we do Monday to Friday. Perhaps you work on the weekend, but think higher than an earthbound perspective. Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, money is the answer to everything. And while that is the case, and we work to be able to make money so that we could provide for the things that we need, I think there's so much more as far as this idea. And I realize that we have folks here today who are in different stages of their life. And I would put the stage of studying and learning, I would put that under work as well. And then those who are maybe past the point where they don't necessarily have to go in every single day, but you spent many years of your life working a specific job or taking care of a home or whatever it may be, there's still day-to-day responsibility and day-to-day work. And so if you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1, I want to start with, as we just kind of a theology of work, what is the right way to start thinking about this? And I need to grab the remote. But we understand from the very beginning that that God works. And we see that in Genesis chapter 1 all the way through. And maybe this thing is not on. There we go. God works. And so God sets the example for us by working, and as he did so, he created the world. That's why we connected the arts to this particular topic tonight. And I believe, I don't know where Matt went, but I think we're heading towards business next, if I understand that correctly. And is next week business? IT, that's right, all right? And then we'll be heading towards business and a variety of things. But as far as God and his work and what he did for us, I know many of you know this information, but I want us just to make sure we're grounded in the scriptures and we let the scriptures constantly renew our minds. But in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Verse 7, "God made the expanse." In verse 16, "God made two lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also." Verse 21, "God created." In verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image and let them rule over.'" And then verse 27, "God created man and he gave them a purpose." And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But over and over in this whole process in chapter 2 and verse 2, by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work." We continue on. In verse 7, "God formed man." Verse 8, "God planted a garden." Verse 15, "God took a man and put him into the garden." And then he created, verse 21, "He took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord fashioned a woman." And so all throughout this process, we see that God sets the example by creating. And that's first and foremost, we understand that as he revealed himself to us, he revealed himself as a worker, as a creator. And then the second aspect that I want us to understand, that he revealed himself to us not in the past as just someone who makes something or who works, but he continues to show us that that is who he is. He continues to work and create, as far as understanding the day in, day out life that we live. I've tried to in the last few weeks just really encourage us along the lines of prayer. And part of my time of praising the Lord, I love to walk and pray at the same time. And I love to walk in different areas, and then everything that I see, I try to in some way bring back to praising the Lord for his creative power. And so whether it's in a place where it's just full of nature, I look at all the different types of leaves that I see and all the different species. If I'm in the middle of the neighborhood, I try to look at all the different colors and patterns that people put on their houses and their landscaping and all the things, and really trace the creative process back to God. And so I literally will, it's how my mind works, but I'll look at an airplane up in the sky and think how amazing that thought is, that 300 people are just sitting in the sky moving across from place to place, and someone with a brilliant mind came up with that concept and how that can even happen, and all through the folks who actually create material for that thing to stay up in the air and then create it back to God, gave each person the ability to do that, and then bring it back to the fact that ultimately everything comes from God. He is the creator. And not only that, the second thing I want us to understand is He is the sustainer. He keeps everything moving from the moment He created it. And so He sets the example in creation, but He also sets the example by sustaining the world. God continues to work. Some passages of Scripture that probably are helpful for you to understand as we move forward through this. He sets the example by working to create the world, and God sets the example by sustaining the world. Look at these passages of Scripture. Let's start with Psalm 121. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. So God calls us to rest, and we enjoy that, but our God continues to work even when we aren't. And so He's always working to accomplish His purposes. He never sleeps and He never slumbers. Look at Isaiah 45 and verses 6 and 7. That men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does these things. So God not only created the world at the very beginning, but He also continues to work and sustain the world day by day, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, from the one who causes well-being and then as well, and this is an interesting concept, causes the calamity. And so God is always working, and it's always to identify the fact that He is the Lord and there is no one like Him. So He sets a beautiful example of work. Look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Is that the next slide? All right, we'll go with John 5. How's that? But He answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." This is when Jesus came, and again, there's this constant squabble with the religious leaders over the Sabbath. And this is the response when they're saying, "No, you can't do that on the Sabbath." This is the response of Jesus. He says, "Actually, my Father is working. He always has been, and He's working now. And I myself, I'm working." Jesus, our God, He is a worker. He created the world, but also He sustains the world. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and He upholds all things by the word of His power." So even tonight, we have a God who is working in these very moments. He does not sleep, He does not slumber, but He's working to glorify Himself and sustain the world so that it doesn't all fall apart. That is a beautiful example of work. And our God is a God that works. And then the second part I'd like us to understand tonight is He created us to work. And that was very clear in the first portion of the Scripture and when we find in Genesis chapter 1. Here's a definition of work that I'd like you to look at. Definition of work: rearranging the raw materials of a particular domain to draw out its potential for the flourishing of everyone. Now, there's all kinds of definitions of work, but I thought this was very interesting. I think this is from Tim Keller. But rearranging the raw materials of a particular domain to draw out the potential for the flourishing of everyone. And so we have the responsibility from the very beginning to work. Go back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. When God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over all the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant." And it was so, and God said, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So from the very beginning, before the fall, we have this responsibility from God. We call it the cultural mandate, many theologians do, the cultural mandate to really work to take care and cultivate the land and the sky and everything that the creation affords to us. It is our responsibility to work to cultivate it. And the idea of this Hebrew word here is the idea of work, to cultivate, to use our hands, to rearrange the raw materials, to make it into something that will flourish. And so this was part of the creation that God has for us. Look in chapter 2 and verse 15. God took man and he put him into the garden to cultivate it and to keep it. And again, it's the idea of work or service, and it carries the idea of care and protection. And he put Adam in the garden to work and to care for it. And it's interesting that as we start at this portion of the scripture in the very beginning and then look at the final thoughts of the scripture and how God has revealed, it's interesting that the final thoughts that we have at the end of Revelation is the idea of a city where the creation has been developed to the point where you have all these raw materials that have turned into something that flourishes for the benefit of the creation. And so at the very end, when we have to look forward to, we're going to enjoy a city that is full of beauty. And I was reading through that this week, and just the description of the city that we're going to enjoy, and it will be full of art and beauty because that's who our God is. So from the very start to the very end, it is our responsibility to take what God has given to us, cultivate it, work it, serve it, protect it, care for it, and use it for our benefit so that we glorify God through the process all the way to the very end. Now, what happened? Why do we so many times just view work as a drudgery, hardship, is something we got to do? Well, Genesis chapter 3, we see this little problem called sin. And when sin came into the world, everything changed. We still have to work, but it feels a little bit different, right? Because in verse 14, we have the Lord starting to give his curse upon the serpent and then to man. In verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it in all your days of your life. both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, and for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So something did change, right? We understand that. Work was part of our responsibility before the fall. Work is our responsibility after the fall, but we understand because of sin, our work feels very, very different. And clearly, it's because of what we call, and the scripture calls it, the curse. It was God's judgment upon sin, and after man went away from God's plan, his will for their lives, everything changed. And so work feels different today. The ground is cursed, and he says, in toil you will eat of it. And so before, everything was afforded to them in the garden. All they had to do was to go enjoy it. And yet after the fall, we have a situation where now in toil, and the ramifications of that is the fact that life is going to be hard. And it's going to be hard, and then you die. That's basically what he says. He says, because you have done this, you will now work, and your work will feel different, and it will be hard, and then you're going to return to the dust, because that's where you came from. And so that's the bad news. The bad news, and that's what we experience, the effects of that every single day. And then you know what's going to come along? The weeds and the thistles. And it's not going to be as fun and easy for you because there's going to be hardship through the whole process. So work's going to be tough. That's the result of a holy God administering justice upon the ones he created. And we understand that we're all affected by that. Now, the good news, the great news, is that as this is being said, he was also promising that there was going to be one that would come. And he would basically turn everything back upside right. He would be the one, the Messiah, who would actually take care of the evil one. And he would provide what we cannot do in and of ourselves. We can't take care of the sin problem, but the one who would come, he would take care of it. And he would give us hope that when we go back to the dust, that's not all that there is. We actually have the opportunity to spend eternity with our Creator God. And through the process, he starts a new creation in us. He starts to work in us to really restore the image that was marred because of sin. And give us hope that, you know what, someday we're actually going to be like the one, when we see him face to face, we're going to be like him. And so with all the bad news, we understand we're on this side of the cross. We understand who the Messiah is, what he did for us, the hope that he brings, and that forever and ever we are going to enjoy him for eternity. But those ramifications, those consequences of the choices of Adam and Eve, they still are with us. And so it is hard, life under the sun, life on the treadmill, day in, day out. We don't automatically pop up and think, oh, I get to glorify God by doing such and such. Sometimes it's that process of renewing our minds that, okay, God, I'm here, my life is for your glory. I'm here today to reflect your glory as I go about and I do this and I do this and I have this opportunity. And so while work is hard, the good news of Jesus Christ is that actually we can work and glorify him. He's freed us from our sin, and so we actually can enjoy the life that God has given us. And he has gifted each one of us individually. I love some of all the comments up here and just the encouragement from our friend Will who said, you know what, don't look down on a gifted child or a child who's gifted in a specific area. Why would we ever want to do that? Just because maybe we're fearful of maybe some of the potential problems that could bring someday or the area that they may, you know, pursue as far as their life is concerned? Do we trust God? Like, do we believe that He is strong enough to create and gift our children for something and then use them for his glory. I hope we do. I hope we have that kind of confidence that we don't live in fear. We actually live in faith. And I understand there's great wisdom and all of those things, but we have to understand that God has created us to work. He sets the example. Yes, the fall of man changed it, but the hope of the Messiah is that we are being restored for our original purpose, and that's to glorify our God. And so we should day in, day out, look to whatever we do, fill in the blank, whatever you do on a daily basis, you should do it for the glory of God. And I think there's some scripture that talks about that, right? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so our work should be for his glory. The 350-year-old Westminster Shorter Confession or Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so as we work day in, day out, that should be our focus. Enjoy our God, enjoy our Messiah, and understand he's gifted us for specific things and he's using us for his glory. And it really should change our perspective and really help us to not just view our jobs as just something we have to put up with, but actually it's our calling. It's our calling to go out into a world and be faithful. And through the weeks, we're going to talk about integrity. We're going to talk about not parent relationships, but manager and employee relationships. And we're going to talk about work ethic and how to be a good worker. So we're going to try to hit a number of things that the scripture talks about. But I want to make sure we understand the foundation is God wants us to enjoy our work. And if you're not in a place where you're enjoying your work, you should start seeking the Lord and maybe he would give you another path to follow, because I firmly believe it. I talked about it all the time in Ecclesiastes. God wants us to enjoy our lives. And he's given us the Messiah. Really, he's given us hope so that we can. So when I talk to someone and they view their work as just something that is menial and just has to happen, that's not really what God designed it to be. And I think if we're thinking from a biblical perspective, we can understand there's a bigger purpose in life. And God wants us to view him as the one who sets the example that he is a worker. He started it from the very first days of creation, and he works every day. He's working even now. And we are to follow his example, and we are workers. That's what we were created to do. And because of Jesus, we can do it really well. We can do it with excellence, and we can do it with joy. Rejoice in all things. And so your work is something that you can do day in and day out to glorify God. And I realize that some of you are in really hard, tough situations where you work with people who, as Will said, they're just mean, right? It's not enjoyable. But that's perhaps why you're there, to give a different perspective, to show the light of the gospel to a world that is desperately in need. We could walk out of this place, and as we, you know, I like to stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a cup of coffee in the morning, and it's interesting to me to watch people in those early morning of the hours, and it's like they're just barely awake and surviving, and it's like there's not a lot of joy happening, you know, in those early days, and maybe they need their coffee, I don't know, but, you know, but as Christians, it should be different for us. It really should. I know it's not easy because of the curse, but because of our Messiah, because of our Savior, it actually can be really, really good to clock in, be faithful, clock out, and keep doing it over and over and over again. Why? It's what our God does. He doesn't stop, though. He doesn't need the rest like we do. But he sets the example, and he continues to work, and he always will, and it will always be for his glory. So as God's people, we should follow that. And we should work with joy, using the gifts and talents that God has given us, and be a light wherever he has us. And so God works, he created us to work, and I hope that as we progress through our time over the next several weeks, it'll be an opportunity for us to just really maybe get back on track and really view it from a God-centered perspective, that everything we do is to be for his glory. No matter what it is to be for his glory. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing as we go into our work week. Father God, we're going to leave from this place and we're going to be scattered across Greenville County, and you're going to place us in all kinds of situations where we are expected to perform and really fulfill the responsibilities that you have for us. And you're going to take your creation in us, your gifts that you've given us to, and you're going to use us in ways to create things and to be faithful, to manage things, and Lord, really work. And I pray that we would see it from a true biblical perspective. We would see it that this is an opportunity to glorify you, and so every single person we come in contact with, every single piece of machinery that we put together, whatever we do, God, I pray that it would be really with you in the center of our thoughts, and it would be your glory that we're trying to reflect. And so, Lord, thank you that you're a worker, and tonight as we go to rest, you're going to be faithful, and you're still going to be working to sustain this world, and we can trust you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rest to your glory, and Lord, prepare us for a week ahead. Lord, and as we take your word and instruct our minds over the next several weeks and to how we can be good workers, I pray that you would accomplish many things through this series. We thank you for each one who's been here this evening. We just ask your blessing on us and use us for your glory. We ask in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next Sunday, Lord willing.